Nigga, baby, you made it. Long as you hold me down, you know that it's going down. Beat it when I turn around and I turn your world around. I had to tone it down, cause you made me slow it down. But I got you up and now, so I'm about to show you now.
What makes you think that I would try to run a game on you? Just to show us my name is Dollar. I'll be there for you and I. Treat you just like a queen and get you fine things. You never have to worry about another in your place.
So believe me when I say,
girl, as long as you wrap your arms around me. I'm giving you
whatever you want. Girl, you know I can provide whatever you need.
Whatever you need, baby.
Listen to your heart, baby.
WTTR, I can say WTT Radio. Captain Daryl Davis and crew, I can't believe I'm doing this. We are filling in live from Hey Mikey ATL. What's up?
What's up, everybody?
We have Chris Epps present is live in the studio with us tonight.
Yes.
Yes, and we are. I know what? I think I feel real. I sound real good, too. You know?
Is that how you feel?
Real good. Also, real good. I do. I feel real. It seems like every time I get on the radio.
I mean, so we're just going to introduce Chris Epps.
Oh, no. But you start talking.
Ty, you over there. I see you in the camera.
Yes, he's in the house. Ty Doc is in the house.
He's about to feel away.
I'm about to say, allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Humpty.
No. My name is Ty. What? D to the OC.
I already know
that you feel me.
You think they feel you?
Oh, really? That's how you feeling?
That's how I'm feeling right now.
Ain't all he needed was, you're my baby.
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
Hey, this is cool. We're filling in for Hey Mikey ATL tonight.
Indeed.
7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What's the West Coast?
West Coast.
In the house. You know, I'm from Los Angeles. And where are you from, Chris?
I'm from New York all day, every day.
Oh, we got New York now. And we have Mr. Ty Doc. Where you from?
Ty, I try to be from where I'm from.
Trying to be from where you from.
I was first.
actually, it's not even counted when they say the boroughs. You're on my borough. So I'm from Jamaica, Queens.
Jamaica, Queens. Okay, cool.
I was born in Queens. I'm older than you, so you came after.
Wow.
So therefore.
But you're from Long Island. I'm from Queens.
No, so I grew up in Long Island, but I'm from Queens.
Okay,
I was born in Queens.
Nonetheless,
yeah.
We're going to say that we rep the same.
We rep the same. Okay, this is going to be a cool show tonight. We got a lot of stuff going on tonight. You are in tune to WTT Radio. Our number, yes. Our topic tonight is sleeping with the enemy.
Sleeping with the enemy.
Yes.
There are so many triangles you could go with that one right there.
And, you know, we can. But, you know.
Which means.
It's all what
is
you
Is it
perceive.
Literal or is it
I'm literal.
Figuratively?
Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Have you ever slept with the enemy? You know what? I can say it like this.
I have.
You know what? And it's like.
Knowingly
or
unknowingly.
That's the other topic. I guess we can talk about that.
But
too.
You can. But that's all part of sleeping with the enemy.
Yeah, but that, did you know that you were sleeping with the enemy?
No, you don't know that.
Well, it's contingent on if you're talking about sleeping from a sexual standpoint. It depends on how good the sex is. That's going to decipher whether or not you're going to continue sleeping with the enemy. Because there's times that you know you're sleeping with the enemy, but that monkey got on your back. Better term, better analogy, but you know what I'm saying. When you got that thing put on you, right? Are you putting that thing down, right?
What kind of thing you talking about?
I mean, just saying, just the experience, the sexual encounter.
I tell you what, we'll be right back on WTT Radio.
Happening, homie. It's T.I.P., man. I'm here to let you know, man, we're breaking hot records right now.
Keep it locked right here.
No, you probably heard of me.
WTT Radio, your number one urban streaming LGBTQ radio station. We'll be back.
Hey, yo, 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 what up?
WTT Radio.
When life's gotten me down, where are you now? I'm needing you. You say the right thing, and everything is wonderful. Ooh. Take all my scars and my broken heart. Promise that you will come. It's not make-believe. Love me with all of your heart. Will you love me when things get too hard and I need you more? Make sure you're sure that you love me all the way.
Sure, that you love me all the way. Hey, no.
Now back to more talk, gossip, and entertainment news.
They get into the nitty gritty of all celebrities and everybody. They don't care. They show no mercy and run with it. That's why I love them.
On WTT Radio, your urban lifestyle station.
Hey. And we are back. What's up with OPP?
Other people problems. Other people problems. I mean, like, what is your definition of OPP for this segment?
Well, we're talking about sleeping with the enemy. So I just said that because that's our background.
So that's other people's
problems.
Well, other people problems. Can you imagine?
Potentially.
So we're talking about sleeping with the enemy. Have you ever? So I don't know. You know what, I think at the time I have slept with an enemy and didn't know it.
You know what, or have you been the enemy? You know what, honestly.
No, because sex is too mental for me. Okay, so you know it's a black and a white area. There's no gray area with me. So either if I mess with you, I mess with you. If I don't, I don't. Right. So I can't decipher between the two. So no, I've never knowingly slept on my end. Slept with an enemy.
And you know, you don't really know the enemy till you find that one piece of slip up.
What you mean?
You find those kind of things. I mean,
the one piece of slip up. I mean, somebody's not a
phone number or that hidden picture or that.
Well, that doesn't necessarily make you an enemy, though.
Well, it does.
If you find out and y'all had something going on and it taints whatever y'all was working or going.
So somebody took a number and cheated. That's a deal breaker.
If they take a number or if they cheat.
So if you found a number, somebody you messing with, and or whatever the circumstances, that's a deal breaker for you.
It depends. But for the most part, yeah.
Why? You know what? And the reason why I used to subscribe to that philosophy.
Right.
So like if you
subscribe to that philosophy. Listen in, people. We got some new terminology in the building.
I did subscribe to that philosophy. Once upon a time, but it comes a point in time that. And I don't want to seem like you are condoning or pacifying anybody cheating or stepping out of the relationship on you, but that may not necessarily always be a deal breaker.
I mean, well, it's like this. If you're going to be in a relationship together, if you're in, like, okay, so now, before I answer that, what are we really bringing this up
on? We're talking about sleeping with the enemy.
I don't know. We've talked about this.
I'm going
to need y'all to bring it back so I can bring y'all to where I'm at. So this way, we all on the same page.
Okay, so let's reverse.
So now, I'm trying to ascertain from my host.
He better ascertain.
Yes. To whether we're sleeping with an enemy that we're actually in a relationship with, or are we sleeping with an enemy just to be sleeping with them? Because if that's the case, they shouldn't really be an enemy because there's no foundation there. So he's
not getting it. If you're in a committed relationship with whomever.
Okay, well, you just said a committed relationship. That's what I'm asking.
That's a committed relationship.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, a committed relationship.
There are variations of committed relationships. That's what I'm saying. So, the point is sleeping with the enemy, right? Good, bad, indifferent, whether it be a platonic, whether it be sexual, whether it be intimacy. However you want to play it, that's the way you can play it, right?
Okay.
So, the question that I was proposing to you, though, was a subtopic based upon what we was talking about, was asking you that if you were in a relationship with somebody and you saw them or found a number, that's a deal breaker for you?
To find the number, no. But to catch them in the act or to catch that, yes, that is a deal breaker.
Oh.
I've been there.
Not just catching them in the act. I mean, 9 out of 10, you don't have to catch them in the act. You'll see signs and you'll see some of the evidence behind. And you say, wait a minute, I've been with this individual 1 year, 1 month, 5 years, whatever.
Well, you know, the old saying goes, keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer. Going based upon what you were saying, Dar, that kind of leads me to another direction, to another subtopic.
So can I give you all now a subtopic to that topic?
Go ahead.
What if your significant other is sleeping with the enemy and the enemy lets you know I'm sleeping with your significant other now then. How do you deal with that?
Wait a minute, say it again?
So, you have your significant other sleeping with someone else. And I would consider them to be the enemy, but they contact you.
And it's all contingent on how they brought the news and their intent. Because if you was bringing it to me like to try to throw it up in my face, like you got one up on me, I may have to mollywop your ass right quick. it all depends.
Let us do like Sophia. Picture it.
It all depends for me, right? So again, it depends on which the manner in which the information was conveyed, right? So if you were telling me that situation specifically, like if you don't caught feelings or my other half done caught feelings and y'all in the, you know, y'all moving forward in some situation, you wanna I don't think I would receive it well from a third party. But it's contingent on how you convey. It's going to decipher whether or not I'm going to mollywop your ass or just going to have a conversation with you.
Okay, so the reason I asked that is because I was in such a situation in which I'm thinking everything is peachy keen in my situation. And not only did they reach out to me to let me know, hey, this, you know, I'm so-and-so and, you know, I think we should be cool. But at the same time, I want to let you know something. I'm saying, well, what you want to let me know about my situation? They was able to tell me dates, times, send me pictures and tell me different things, and so now it's to where it's not even a matter of a question if it's happening anymore. It's just a matter of, oh, so for the times that you were unreachable and you did things that was unexplainable, this is where this ties in and fits in, and it fits perfectly. It's not, you know what I mean, like, so
who was you mad at in that moment? Was you mad at the third party or was you mad at your other half?
I was mad at my other half.
So it was okay for the third party to bring you the information because of why?
The reason it was okay for them to bring it to me, number one, before I wanted to react off of what I was getting, I had to do my little fact checks and my own research. But in doing so, like I said, so now I just brought it as a question. I didn't bring it like an argumentative thing. It was like, hey, you know, bottom line, I just want to know, can you tell me about this?
No. I'm going back to the third party. Why did the third party come to you and tell you anything? Did the third party know about you when they was messing around with your other half?
Initially, no.
So at what point did they find out about you?
When they, I guess they said, you know, they wanted to see her after, well, whatever it was, whether they went out for dinner or something like that, wanted to go over to her house, but she knew she was coming to see me. So it became a thing as to where it was like, oh, okay, well, how come I can't come see you? And then, you know, oh, well, I got to be honest with you. This is what I got going on. I'm sorry. I should have told you, but this is how I was feeling. I was vulnerable type deal and that kind of a situation.
Wow.
That's not about something.
You know, I mean, and it's really kind of sad. I mean, it doesn't matter what type of relationship you're in, you know, heterosexual, bisexual, gay sexual. I mean, the enemy is the enemy. What do you do if you find out that you are seeing an enemy? Do you actually leave this individual?
Well, it's all contingent on how you find out and then what you are intertwined with. That's why I believe in, if we're not married, we can sack, but we can't shack. Right? Because mm-hmm. I don't want all of that, because if it comes out that you are doing something, it's a wrap. But then again, too, I've learned that that's all contingent on the boundaries and the level of the relationship that can decipher whether or not a deal breaker, somebody stepping outside of the relationship is a deal breaker.
Right.
Like, you know, if it was just a physical thing, you know, It's something that, you know, you possibly can rectify. But if it was an emotional attachment and then somebody else got your heart, that's something you can't, it's hard to come back from that.
It is hard to come back from. Do you ever, you know what, you sit there and you might stay with that individual, and do you ever come back from it? That's the mental thing, you think.
I think in the back of your, well, to each his own, but for myself, it's like it always lingers in the back of my mind. I'll never forget. I might want to forgive, I might want to move forward, and we might take steps together, but ultimately, that is something I will never forget, and I look for the signs moving forward, because I'm a firm believer in not repeating mistakes. So if we make the first mistake, we're not doing it again.
But the reality of the situation is, right, you definitely can forgive and you don't forget. But the reality, until I this is my philosophy, and this is being on in my 40s, that I feel that once, until you become a certain of a certain age, the possibility of you being cheated on or somebody stepping outside of a relationship is much higher, right? So you can go from one situation to another,
right?
But somebody else can do the same stuff that they did to you in the previous relationship, so you're gonna live that all over again. If somebody stepped outside of the relationship, and like I said, it was a physical thing, and
right,
and you know there were other circumstances, because 9 times out of 10 if somebody steps outside of the relationship, they're not stepping outside of the relationship just because they just arbitrarily are a hoe. Or if you ended up with a hoe, you knew that was a hoe before you decided to lock it down.
And you know what, you're gonna change the hoe. That's a good topic right there too. I mean, like you said, that not arbitrarily, but 9 out of 10, that's, I'm gonna say that's not true.
That's not true. What
I mean, not necessarily the other person not necessarily have to have done anything wrong before that other individual stepped out on them,
right? Then you got with a hoe.
Yeah,
then you got with a hoe and you knew that was a hoe before you locked it down. But 9 times out of 10, the average person, there will have to be other compound issues that will make that person want to step outside of relationship. Oh, why you got
I got a headache.
What's going on over there?
I got a headache.
What's going on over there? Why you got a headache?
213-292-7694.
Let's call the assistant in the office, see if she can get you some
Yeah, try for me.
She can get you some aspirin and some water. Can we have
we're gonna finish this conversation right after. This is the Carter's Ape Shit. That's what it's called.
Yes,
on WTT Radio.
Have you ever seen the crowd going ape?
Lavish. I get expensive fabrics, I got expensive habits. Take a top shift, call my girls and put them all on a spaceship. Hang one night with y'all, say I'll make you famous.
Hey.
Have you ever seen the stage going ape shit?
Finna pull up in the zoo. I'm like, Chief, keep me Rafiki. Who been lying king to you? Woo. Pocket watch it like kangaroos. Tell these clowns we ain't amused. Man, the clips for that monkey business. 4-5 got change for you. Motorcades when we came through. Presidential with the planes too. When better get you with the residential. Undefeated with the cane too. I said no to the Super Bowl. You need me, I don't need you. Every night we in the end zone. Tell the NFL we in stadiums too. Last night was a fucking zoo. Stage diving in a pool of people. Ran through Liverpool like a fucking beetle. Smoking Rilla glue like it's fucking legal. Tell the Grammys fuck that 0 for 8 shit. Have you ever seen a crowd going 8 shit?
Change. Change. I don't give a damn about the fame.
Nope.
GA planes. Alexander Wayne. Woo. She a thought that you claim.
Woo.
Can be tapping my range. Oh. Give me the ball, take a top shift. Call my girls and put them all on a spaceship. Hang one night with him, say I'll make you famous. Have you ever seen a crowd going apeshit?
WTT Radio, the Carters, A-S-H-I-T. Ape shit. What's going on? Captain Daryl Davis live with Chris F. Presents and Ty Doc live.
What's going on?
For Hey Mikey ATL.
He yes, and Chris S. Presents is on air every Saturday at 11 o'clock.
Oh, my God. Here goes
on the Hot 92
We're talking
days.
About a conversation, sleeping with the enemy. He going to talk. He going to put a plug out for his show every Saturday morning.
At 11 o'clock.
On Hot 92.3. And Ty Doc is on Hip Hop Joint Rap Radio. Captain Daryl Davis is live here on WTT Radio, filling in. Hey, Mikey, what's up, people?
What
so,
up?
Woo! It's going on.
Can't here. Believe we made it.
So, we were talking prior to Easy Break. Enemy. So, And Ty made a statement. Chris, help me out here. Cause
Ty don't realize that he locked down a hoe. He can't decide that he locked down a hoe. Because what I said was that somebody cheated, right?
Right.
And if it wasn't emotional, maybe there is room for repair. But 9 times out of 10, if somebody stepped outside of the relationship, there were other compound issues. And then Ty was like, not necessarily so. And then I said, well, then you locked down a hoe.
No, that's not what was said.
And that rhymed. Not necessarily so, first, but you locked down
firstly,
a
hoe. Sir, that's not what was discussed. It was discussed as far as my subtopic was if the enemy then came to you with letting you know what was going on. That's what we were talking about. And you made the comment towards me. That was actually directed towards the captain for what he originally said. So,
but then too,
we need a retraction issue.
Now, that was part of it, but also I said about the person who brought it to you, what was the intent when they found out about you? And then all of that vulnerability stuff. But still the point being that you might have locked down a hoe, bro.
Right. Can you imagine?
You might have locked down a hoe, bro.
So,
that's going to be a song. Hey,
213-292-7694. If you think you locked down a hoe, or if you think you sleep with the enemy, or you have slept with the enemy. So we had made this topic earlier. Have you ever been the enemy?
So have I. Oh, this lighting. Have I ever been the enemy?
Mm-hmm.
Have I ever had get back sex? I'm trying to run through my catalog. I don't think it's not a huge catalog either.
I've wanted to. I've come tremendously close
to have get back sex.
Yes.
So then you would have been the enemy?
Yes.
Who was you going to... Was you going to get back sex with who? The person that they... Who was you going to have...
That's her friend.
Oh. Oh, so you going to hunch the friend. Get back at her.
Well, you know what? 9 out of 10, most people do that. They have get back sex. Not necessarily the friend. But they are going to step out and find somebody else. You know.
But
I got drunk at the bar, and that's why
I don't know about get back sex, though. That's a huge risk, because what if the sex is whack?
Yeah, but they don't care about that. Most people don't care. They just figure, I'm just going to get
no,
no.
No? No. Because for me, sex is an experience. Not an experience, but experience.
What do you think, Ty? I mean, when you're having get back sex, you don't even care about who it is. You say whatever.
I mean, for the most part, yeah, it's just a matter of... I'm saying, like, what went through my mind and me wanting to get my get back is, okay, I'm going to go...
You just turned me off?
I'm sorry, I just turned you... Go ahead.
I'm going to...
really? I just turned him down a little
you
bit.
You did, no, turn me off. no, my goal was to... outdo her. So I'm going to find somebody prettier, somebody better, and I'm going to flaunt it in your face just that one good time. Or I'm going to make sure it gets through the grapevine so it gets to you. But it's going to be damaging to you because I want you to hurt like I did. It's probably petty, but I'm just saying that's just my thought.
So you giving somebody else control over yourself and your emotions at that point.
So wait a minute. I'm trying to figure out how is it that we supposed to be talking about these topics, but yet and still everything is still directed towards... My responses.
Well, you can redirect that, make my deposit, and we go ahead and cash in. The beauty of conversation is that you can go ahead and redirect that conversation or those questions back to somebody else. And can you turn up my headphones? I think Ty turned down my headphones.
We got all kinds of stuff going.
It's kind of low.
That one's mine.
Okay, but I can't. Oh, turn my volume up something.
I mean, I did it. All
right. So anyway, I think that. Yeah, you can. There you go. Whatever you just did worked.
So that's thank you.
The microphone. Go ahead.
So to answer your question, what was your question again?
See what I'm saying?
He was like, we was basically putting the blame on him, making the subject all about him.
No, I wasn't.
I didn't say that.
He said it was the questions were being redirected at him.
There you go.
And I said the beauty of a conversation is that you can direct questions to somebody else too. So, you know, again, you getting for clumped and letting somebody else take control.
Oh, we like these SAT words. Ladies and gentlemen, I need somebody to spell it. If you can call in right now and tell me how that word is spelled correctly without utilizing Google or I'm about to say Iris. What's that? Siri.
You're supposed to work smarter and not harder.
Well, then that defeats their purpose.
Well, but going back to the topic, though, seriously, if your person's just randomly out there having sex with somebody, you lock down a hoe and
get rid of them. I concur.
It's like, you know, you can't. Ooh, unless you're gonna sign up for certain ish, you know, because there are some people. I have a friend that their spouse is very well off, and they're accustomed to
financially.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
And they're accustomed to a certain lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And
do we know as an individual?
And they know that periodically their spouse may step out on them. Howsoever, as long as it's not flaunted in their face or there's no emotional attachments, it's sort of the blind eye.
See, but to me now, that draws something else. That's like...
You're not okay in it, but the reality of the situation is...
Yeah, we are adults, and it happens.
Right, and the reality of the situation is, are you going to let somebody else come behind you and get everything? Now, that's a whole nother show, too. Because you're going to let somebody else come behind you and get everything that you worked hard for and you done built with this person because they done stepped out of the relationship?
I mean, well, at that point, I think they take it out of your hands because now the question becomes, are they willing to let everything that was worked for within that relationship slip because of the mess up that they did?
That's true, too, but I don't know. You know, and then I have another friend. I do have a lot of friends. I got some friends that have been through some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a friend who divorced their spouse because of that reason, because their spouse, again, was wealthy, stepped out of a relationship, but they fell in love with the person they was having an affair with.
Wow.
Wait a minute. they okay. Let me see.
So it wasn't the fact that they stepped out of a relationship. It was the fact that they stepped out of a relationship and fell in love
with the person they was having an affair with.
With their affair with, correct?
Okay, it'd be like this. So a husband and wife together, right? Mm-hmm. And the wife is cheating on the husband.
Or the husband and the husband,
well,
the husband
whatever. The yeah, husband. It doesn't matter. We're just trying to get this together here. So mm-hmm. he's a husband and wife, and the wife cheated on the husband with another man. So she left and fell in love with the person she was cheating with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I thought you said the husband left with them.
No, you talk about in this particular scenario. No, it was the husband. The husband stepped out on the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The husband fell in love with the mistress.
Oh.
And so the wife decided that was her deal breaker, because it wasn't the first time he cheated, but it was her deal breaker because he cheated and fell in love.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that is.
You can't. It's hard to come back from that when somebody else got your heart.
Yeah.
And you playing such an appropriate bed of music, OPP. Other people's property. What do you do when it happens?
Yeah, I mean, it's wild, isn't it?
It's very wild.
Mm.
Way to reminisce over you, my God.
Listen, but can we have a round? I discuss whether or not I slept with an enemy. Did anybody else here may have slept with an enemy?
No, I said I came close. It. I didn't do it though.
I think I slept with several enemies.
No, ready.
Yes, I think I said what.
And what is your definition of an enemy in those circumstances?
What
type of enemy was it? Somebody that just didn't mean you no good,
I mean,
or
you know, you've been in relationships with people. You dating somebody, and then you go to. I mean, okay, I'm gonna use for example. Back it was like in the it had to be in the late 80s, and so. I was dating and everything, and so I don't even call it. It was a relationship. It wasn't no dating. It was a relationship, and the individual always would travel around the country and stuff like that. And then him and his mama would always happen to have to move. So I said, "Oh, can I come hang out with you? I haven't seen you like in 2 weeks." "Oh no, I got to fix the house up tonight and get it ready." But they made a mistake, give me an address to that house.
Oh, you got a pop-up ministry.
I did.
Okay, so, come on, drive by.
And so I seen this little car.
Beep, beep.
And I seen a little car in the driveway up against the house. Because, I mean, so I said, I got out of my car, went out to the door. And also I seen lights flashing. And so I hopped the fence to the back. I was to make sure nobody got
out. Oh, you with Olympics on it.
You ain't about to get away from this.
Oh, yeah. Okay, come on, Olympics.
I hopped the fence. I didn't want nobody to get away. I had to catch them together. It's gonna be like, this is gonna be a fight.
Me. So you were gonna fight them?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yes. But,
So
when I got inside the house, so the door is open.
Uh-huh.
And so I rushed in there. And I see somebody running through the hallway, but person I was with, he's trying to go. I said, "No, nigga, you coming back?" "Oh, Lord, forgive me, radio."
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, we got loud. It just got loud. That thing hit your spirit. Right. I think I hit your spirit.
I can still see it. I grabbed that Negro and whooped his ass in that house. The other person got away. This is how crazy what I did to make sure he was cheating. I put my fingers up to crack his button and all this kind of stuff. And
oh!
I want to see if any grease was up
there. Wait a minute. Fire flag on the plane. TMI.
Wait a minute.
No. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're scared.
That was a flag on the plane right there. What?
Wait a minute.
I had to check.
Wait a minute, you scared me.
I want to verify that this was really going on.
What is really happening right now?
1, 2, 3, not it. I wasn't ready.
Okay. Wait a minute. We need to come back. So after you had that situation and you found out, did you go back and did you ever have with that person again?
Yeah, I did.
So you were sleeping with the enemy.
Yes.
So that's what you define as sleep with the enemy.
Well, yeah.
So was the sex good? That's why you had to go back?
Well, we had bump and grind sex. We didn't have real sex. We called slick legs.
God damn, that's why they were cheating, because they wanted the real thing.
No.
What's Tammy? What's they say? Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby.
Wow.
What is slick leg? What is that?
It's safe sex.
So what's wrong with safe sex?
Now, nah, wait a minute.
Because I'm confused.
Slick leg is when you have two individuals and you open your thighs and...
Uh-huh.
either thighs high. You know.
That's not sex.
What is going on in America right now?
That is not sex.
Well, look. We will be right back. This is Kiki Wyatt, Fall in Love on WTT Radio. We're going to continue this conversation. Radio, Captain Daryl Davis filling in for Hey Mikey ATL on a Tuesday eve of 4th of July 2018 in the studio with Ty Guy.
Fireworks all popping.
We are talking about sleeping with the enemy, and
it's popping.
We had to take a break real quick because it got hot in the studio.
It did.
And I still, and Ty didn't bring me anything to drink, anything, but that's cool. I can deal with that.
Did you just go out there and grab him?
No, I'm fine. I can wait.
We back on air now.
We back on air. So we was talking about sleeping with the enemy, and I was sharing one of my experiences that I had with an individual where, God rest his soul, and let me tell you.
Oh, he no longer here?
And he actually died here in Atlanta. And this happened in Long Beach, California, all this. And so he was a minister. He was like about a year younger than me too.
And you gonna go to church and be gonna pray for these?
Well, no, no. Wait, I'm telling you something. And we talking about sleeping with the enemy, and I found sin in church. Cause I mean, I fell in love in church. I had never, I mean, I was like 23 years old. And I thought love was the best thing ever. And so I didn't really know. And so, but this individual, it was almost like a manipulator. Because you know why? I did everything for them because they didn't really have anything. I bought them a car. I got a problem with that. I do that too many times.
You was a paymaster?
I did many times. Yes, I was. I was. And like, my family listening. So when my dad, when my dad would give me like money, stuff like that. When my dad gave me like $1,500, and his car broke down, I gave him all my money. But you know what? I think it depends who the individual is. If you really love someone that much.
If you love me, say.
So we were telling a story about how I hopped that fence and go figure out. Then you know one thing, but I went back with him after this. You know what I'm saying? Because
so you were sleeping with the enemy.
I was.
But you went back to a hoe.
It was a hoe.
And you knew it was a hoe.
Yes, because first he was like.
So what responsibility did you take in regard to dealing with the hoe?
I took my responsibility was of loving a hoe.
I'm sorry, did you say that's your responsibility?
No, my...
The responsibility that he took was that he loved
the hoe. I did. I loved a lot of hoes.
Last night, yeah.
I loved the hoe.
Did you say I loved a lot of hoes?
I did love a lot of hoes. But I'm a...
So, at what point... Okay, so let me... I am a Vincentian. So, at what point did you know that you was the common denominator in dating a lot of hoes? And why was you dating a lot of hoes? Because the sex was good or just because it gave you some level of validation?
Or did it just give you a level of excitement?
You can't get the third question.
I don't think it gave me any validation. You know what? I still seek these answers. And actually, to be honest with you, seriously, as recent as a couple of years ago, I actually seen a psychiatrist. And try to deal with this.
There's nothing wrong with mental therapy.
No, you know it was because you know why.
There's nothing wrong with that. You got to see help.
There's not, but.
If more people, and particularly more people in the black community, will seek mental therapy outside of, like I said this on the previous show, it's more than just laying it all on the altar. You have to put actions along with laying it all on the altar. And sometimes you have to go see a psychiatrist, lay on somebody's couch, look at the ceiling, and talk about it and work through it.
But the thing about it is, it's like, you know, we still working our way back forward to this day and time.
Okay.
And even dealing with,
so come forward.
With Reggie, that was his name. I just thought they were the best person for me. I tend to seem to attract these type of individuals. And then the one... I had a moment of breakdown this moment, y'all, Radio Land. And so I had to sit there and kind of deal with some stuff right now. Reggie actually had many times, like... He moved into my house. Okay, my mom, our family. We had like about 10 or 12 people in the house. So one time, he would like always say travel with the bishop and stuff like that. And he came.
You had a church hoe.
Yeah,
them the worst type of hoes.
You know this from experience.
Yeah, yes.
I've never did that.
Church hoes are another type of hoes because. Baby, they will be act like they praying and tarrying with the pastors and the reverends and the being armor bearers and they being armor and they bearing something right.
Oh no,
that's true too. Because but
church hoes is the worst.
I thought this individual was the best person. I seek these type of individuals out. I don't even know why. And I had a conversation with somebody today earlier about this same situation, and they told me I need to shake myself from this. I think you got to stop it because you tend to fall into this situation. And
so are you laying on somebody's couch?
No, not anymore. I mean,
you need to be and work through that.
But no, because I won't listen. You know, I do. I often know what the problem is.
You're a control freak.
No, it's not that. I mean,
just don't want to deal with it. Deal with the lost portion of it.
I mean, like with Reggie, I don't even know how it finally came to a head after like 3 or 4 years of dealing with this. I mean, in another situation with an ex. After him,
so how many times did they cheat on you, Daryl? I mean, Captain D.
He, you know what? It had to be numerous times. And I mean, like one time he actually went to Seoul, Korea with the bishop. You know, he had to tell me, I worked at a bank at the time, and he would call me from Seoul, Korea, and he, of course, he put money in the phone booth, and I didn't know where. He told me, he said he was in San Diego, and of course I was a collector at the time. And what I did was, if you ever have this, somebody ever call you on the phone, you want to know where they're calling from, hit zero and say, operator, reverse that, where that call just came from, and they would tell you where it came from. And she told me Seoul, Korea, and I was so hurt. I said, what are you doing in Seoul, Korea? He told me he was in San Diego, and I was at work when this happened. So and then he came back home, and he was living with his grandma and his two brothers, and he had this small apartment. I mean, he really didn't have anything, so but me. And when he came back, I came over to see him. He said, oh, I'm so glad to see you and everything. And I knew he was lying, but I didn't care. The comfort of someone that you just want to be. He said, I bought you some clothes and stuff. And I felt like, oh, wow, he actually bought me stuff. You know what? Nobody ever really bought me anything. So I always, just me giving and giving. It's like, so, you know, you think about that all the time. I had this conversation today. And it's like, it's like to get a piece of candy or something. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. And he wanted to do it, right? He never had sex. He said, you wanted to do it. So I said, your grandmother, like literally, guys, like this is the living room
right now.
This is the living room right here, and the door to the bedroom right there. And all of a sudden,
y'all hunching on the living room floor?
No, in the bedroom. The grandmother and the brothers in the living room watching TV. Then another brother walking. I said, oh my God. I was just trying my new clothes when he bought me. I was like 23 or 24 years old.
You was trying them on and off.
So I was on that instant. I was sleeping with the enemy. I was sleeping with, and then another instance. Sorry, my friend. I'm not going. This is my ex, and I don't want to say his name because I still deal with him today. He
oh,
this is not that one. Hold up.
Dad said, you don't know my life.
It wasn't many people in my life, but this one, I've been knowing them like they were like 16 or 17, and they went away to serve the good country. Please don't be listening. I'm sorry. And they would come home on the weekends and stuff all the time. They were stationed somewhere else. I don't want to say where they're stationed at. And I really just, it was like, just
know you got tired over here, fam.
Just to know that they were coming back over the weekend, like so much fun. Right. I like, oh cool, they coming on weekends. So I was always prepared. I would like do. I mean, I had like big poster pictures like that made and stuff like that. And one time they told my one of my friends called, said so and so not coming. He said, no, so and so is here with another man. I said, huh? And my heart was hurt then.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And yeah, that was like the worst feeling in the world. So that was like, at that time, I was sleeping with the enemy there too. Isn't that terrible?
So
that
you showed up to a party, and the guy that you was dating was already there?
No, my friend, they were serving Uncle Sam, and my friend said, well, no. I said, well, I bought this stuff and everything, the pictures and everything. I had it all ready for it. And I had all the pictures. I said, it's gonna be so much fun when they come here. So I was waiting and stuff. I bought all new clothes and stuff. I bought new comforters and everything. So my friend said, they're not coming. I said, what do you mean they're not coming? They with the other man. I said, what man? The man they've been seeing the whole time. You thought you were seeing it was at the club. You at home while you're at the club. They're seeing somebody else. That was another enemy. So
you know that you say
beat that ass when you find out.
No, that I didn't want to see them anymore.
So you ain't beat that ass.
I didn't see them. I didn't see them. I didn't go. I didn't go to club. I did go to club to fight a lot.
See, that's the stuff. Okay, so and I hate to equate stuff to violence, right? Mm-hmm. House or nevers. When your emotions get involved, you think irrationally.
Yes.
Right. And that is, those are the makings of making somebody irrational. Right. Is that when you play head and mental games, it's like, you know, if you over the experience, if you over me, let me know and leave me the hell alone.
Right. Exactly.
Don't string me along, because once that string pops and I know and I find out what I find out,
bang, bang,
I'm coming to see you.
Oh, yes.
And when I'm coming to see you,
it is not to say hello.
And my skinny boy is completely on. I'm rolling up. And it's a situation.
So a situation.
Those are right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And bleach ain't gonna be able to help clean it up either.
Okay. Wow.
Or you know, bleach might be a factor.
But
though.
You know what? It's funny that you say that because you just took me down memory lane. I tried to forget that one.
Well, guess what? We're going to come back in a second. You're in tune to WTTR Radio. This is the Hey Mikey ATL, but we are feeling tonight Captain Darryl, Chris F. and Mr. Ty Doc on WTT Radio, 213-292-7694. Give us a call. I'll talk to you in a second.
So sad to see you go so soon. I know that you ain't coming back. In the beginning, everything was cool. Toward the end of it all, it's all bad. I know I played my part in making it what it is. And I know that you did the same. I guess I'm out of here. I'm moving on again. I'm sure that you will understand. I play by the rules. You play by the game. I couldn't have stayed. It's easier to say. Cause I was by your side when you went through the pain. I guess it doesn't matter now that you're so far away. And every day that you're gone, I'm missing you so. I can't believe that you're far away. Can't get you out of my mind. Boy, you're out of my life. I can't believe that you're far away. Trying to forget you, don't know what I'm gonna do. 4 days and counting, I've been laying in, staring myself in the mirror, all alone in my room. I can't feel this way again. I'm gonna think with my head, cause my heart is what got me here. So hurt from what you've done, more than enough reasons for me to move on. Cause I gave you my word to put your trust in me, supposed to be the be what you need. I was by your side when we were meant to be. Guess it doesn't matter now that you're so far away.
Yeah. I'm missing you so. I can't believe that you're far away. Can't get you out of my mind. I wouldn't have answered my phone to hear the voice that told me something was wrong. The cops, the one who had told me that you was alone inside the empty room. Identified you as my baby, oh my baby.
WTT Radio. Captain Daryl Davis live in the studio with Chris Epp and Ty Doc. What's up?
What's going on?
We are talking about sleeping with the enemy. Hey, what's up, Cedric? And Decatur, Georgia, tuning in tonight. Percy Baldwin from St. Louis is tuning in. And we have folks, Debbie D, out of Los Angeles. People hitting us up. And Cedric, yes, I told that story, sir. So, if you have anything to say, don't have me tell a story. Thank God, I'm glad you're listening in. I won't get no more stories. You know, sleep. We talk about sleeping with the enemies. Ty had a story. He had a story to share, and we were talking about offline about somebody who was sleeping with Ty. You want to elaborate more on that story?
Yeah. So, what my story dealt with, in which I was seeing this young lady and. My thoughts of her was, I had my suspicions, but at the same time, I was open to the possibility of her being able to be honest and truthful, in which she wasn't. And it was brought to my attention by her friend that she wasn't honest, and was, while I'm thinking she dating me, she in a whole nother city with somebody else on vacation doing what they do. Unobtainable, unreachable whatsoever, until she comes back and tells me some shit about I had poor reception, and
that's a good one.
So after everything was said and done, I already had my ducks in a row, so it was just a matter of me fact checking. And anytime you lie,
so you do the two finger
I ain't gotta check. Do that because the fact that I was so cool about it, it threw her off, because it wasn't my normal behavior for her. But it was just a matter of asking questions. And when she gave you the question, when she gave you the answer the first time, she'd say one thing, and then the second time it'd be something different. And by the third time, she done messed up, so she can't remember exactly what she told you. So she's giving you part A, part B, and now we entering in the C. So it's you done effed up, right? You effed up. Because you said one thing. And then you said something else. You effed up. So it was just a matter of, and then finding out after everything was said and done, not only you dating me, you dating somebody else. The other person know about me, I don't know about them. And now it's ain't that something? Then lovely, lovely young lady had the audacity to try to pull a, she's got to have it on me. Where she gonna try to invite me and the other dude out in a social setting, I wanted y'all to meet.
No, but wait a minute. Hold on. Let me rewind. So she set up a situation where it was you and the other dude she was messing with all together.
She was attempting to, yeah. And I kindly
she don't fear her life.
it was difficult, but I had to make some decisions. I had to make some moves, and needless to say,
so go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm good. I'm done.
So did you ain't getting no altercation with the other guy?
No, we never met. Cause I wouldn't put myself in a situation I felt I had more to lose than I did to gain. Cause I could easily walk away, go find somebody else, and
so this is not the same. This is not the same guy who came to you and told you about your ex.
No.
So it sounds like to me, then you might need to go to that same therapist with Dad, cause you date hoes.
Oh.
Date hoes.
No, I used to. That's why I'm single.
See, listen, y'all.
Wait a minute. You don't date hoes.
Listen, I date hoes, but I know what I'm dating, so I'm not trying to lock that hoe down.
I didn't say I was trying to lock neither one of them hoes down.
Well, you were.
It was that way. That it happened that way.
Then, if you weren't trying to lock them down, then you would have not been bothered when you found out that there was a third wheel, or you was a third wheel.
The reason I was bothered was because it was a lie. Like I said, because in entering in that kind of a situation, I feel like if as adults...
Hold on, let's pause. This is how we're going to work through this. So, if you were bothered by the fact that they didn't tell you whatever, but you knew you was dating a hoe... That's a contradiction, because you clearly thought it was something more than what was there. If you was dating a hoe, then a hoe don't owe you no explanation, because a hoe gonna do what a hoe do, and we all know what hoes do.
See, this is what I'm saying. firstly.
Now, where you get, where you can get, where you, I'm sorry, I didn't mean cut you, but where you can, you could bring it home, where you can get deceived is when you think you're in some type of monogamous relationship, be it a dating, or we're in a committed relationship, and then there's a third party in the third wheel. Then that's a different issue, because then there's a level of commitment and understanding and a contract, so to speak, that we made between us. And if that boundary wasn't set, that thirds were welcome, then you were out of compliance, and then that's when you have an issue. But if you have an issue because, and you know they was a hoe, or you know they had hoe tendencies, then what you get, you have to take the ownership. I'm not saying you deserve it, but you have to take the ownership for what you received or what happened.
Listen, I'm going to do like LeBron James, throw on my shades, stand up from this conference table, grab my briefcase, and make my way out the door.
With your little pants on?
Don't. You can.
With the hot waters, no socks.
Don't leave the conversation. Because just because it's tight and it's right, don't mean you got to leave. Oh, stay.
But see, but Ty,
Chris, your deliverance is.
I was asking Chris, has he ever. You slept with the enemy. Have you ever?
I've never slept with the enemy knowingly.
You all knew you had hoes,
but I knew, and some I know now was a hoe, and then mm-hmm. some I knew at the time that I engaged was a hoe. So it was like, I expected. There was one situation. Okay, so I'll share a situation where I guess I was sleeping with the enemy, didn't know it, because we wasn't in a relationship. We were dating. And somehow, some way, their ex came back in the picture, and you never told me. Mm-hmm. And I slipped up and found out, and I acted a donkey.
Will he sleep with the ex too?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Listen.
Yes.
When the ex comes back into the picture.
Yes.
And y'all done had before.
Mm-hmm.
You and that ex gonna have again.
Right.
No. I don't. That's not true. That's not true all the time.
Okay, let me redirect my question.
Okay, there you go.
Let me redirect my statement. I mean,
thank you.
If your ex came back in the picture, mm-hmm. and y'all had some good old sex,
okay.
and some good old chemistry,
okay.
when that ex comes back in the picture, good, bad, and different, something going down.
I don't believe that's true.
Okay.
I don't think that now. Maybe that's not true with me, but with you, it is. Because you sleep with hoes, and are you a hoe?
I mean,
maybe that's why I'm being so defensive on the hoes, because I could be a hoe. But listen,
they said it takes one to know one.
You know what? I'm not a hoe, because I never cheated if I was in a relationship. Even if I was dating, I have never. That's one thing I could pride myself on. I have never cheated or stepped outside of my relationship ever. House or nevers, when you are a free agent, you have to hold auditions every now and again to see if they make the team. I'm just saying. So
I can't deal.
So every now and again, you may have an audition.
So you
a tryout.
So you had a lot of tryouts. You're like a musician. You blowing a horn, huh?
That was a good one.
I don't have a lot of trials, because fortunately enough, the trials that I had, they make the team. So
you know what? Okay, we had a radio station. We have like this station. This is WTTR Radio, you guys, and we have like five stations here. And we have a lot of people here at the station working with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you think a lot of enemies here? People, a lot of enemies, sleep with enemies, goes on up in this station.
So, okay. So, now you're going to make me take off one hat and put another one on.
Go for it.
Here's I'm going to speak for Chris Epps, because that's the only person I can speak for.
Let me turn these shades down.
Yes. Turn them shades down. For Chris Epps, there's never an enemy for me, for anybody doing anything similar or the same that I'm doing, because I'm grown enough and I'm wise enough to know that I am the one and the only, and nobody can compete with me. I compete with myself.
Okay.
So I could salute, and I do salute, and I do support everybody here at the station, and they're different.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about.
No. But so,
and you grab your hair.
I was scratching my bald head, by the way. So go ahead. So what you were saying? We direct your question. Maybe I can get. I misunderstood.
I'm not. You know what? I shouldn't even brought that up. I'm sorry.
No, it's a fair question.
What number pop? You know, like individuals sleeping with the enemies. You know.
Do you think people are sleeping with one another yet?
Well, I don't think that at all.
Oh,
okay. But I mean.
Oh, I get where you go. The plane landed now. Okay.
Oh yeah, you caught on.
Now it's still circling.
We'll catch you up on the break.
Wow. 213-292-7694 to join the conversation. 213-292-7694. Just don't sit there and listen and smile and know. We know some of you guys sleep with the enemies too.
So, you know, there's layers to sometimes sleeping with the enemy. Sometimes, you know, it can be comfort. Yes. Sometimes it can just be it's familiar. Mm-hmm. So you rather deal with familiar than with unfamiliar, and then sometimes you just
don't know
less than smart.
Yeah, it's idiots.
I didn't want to use such a harsh word.
I'm less than smart. Yeah,
but also you tend to attract the people based upon the energy that you put out in the universe. So.
Wait a minute! What are you trying to say about me?
Oh, I wasn't directing that towards you.
I almost said
they would. They did say when you throw a rock in a dog pile, they want to come out.
I almost said, "Bitch!" I almost had to say that word to you.
I don't get all kinds of cussed out on the air.
Oh my God!
I've never in my life.
I get them cussing folks out on the radio, especially in this studio here. I don't know what that is. I am so sorry, Chris, that you made me say that. You were speaking to me. Indirectly, you were talking about me.
I was not talking about you.
If you're not hearing me right now, mainly it's because I'm so lost in this conversation. I don't even.
Oh, you are not lost. If you take them damn dark ass shades off, you will be able to see the light. Because you're in the dark because you got on dark shades. But if you take them off, you will see the light.
I'm not Stevie Wonder over here. I think
Ty just like, he pretend like he's so shy and innocent. But we know, right, Chris?
Them the ones.
The worst ones.
The church hoes.
Yes. Like, you know, did you say station hoes or church hoes?
He said church. But that wouldn't apply to me because, you know, just because you have a suspicion doesn't mean that you have a guarantee. So you go right ahead. You can suspect.
Are you speaking to me?
I'm talking to both my hosts. You can suspect all you like.
But we ain't crazy, are we, Chris?
Yes, you are. Y'all can provide me with a little proof. You know, since the library's open, let me read something. Oh.
Don't have to go there. I don't want to bring the other person into it.
Ain't nobody here to bring into nothing.
Not in here right now.
Not in here ever.
Don't want to be all
by myself. I thought we was going to break.
This is WTT Radio.
We are not going to break. There's still like some 3 minutes left in this segment, sir. So let's talk about you, Ty.
No. That I am not the topic. Today's topic is sleeping with the enemies.
Right. So I just want to talk about you and your enemy experience.
I discussed mine. We was elaborating on yours.
So have you?
You had one.
Have you ever been the enemy, Ty?
Have I ever been the enemy?
Have you ever stuck your hand in the candy jar and knowing that you was the enemy from the gate?
Okay. Let me. But he think about that. I know he's thinking like. But, okay. I want enemy. I wasn't the enemy. But I'm putting it like this. Back in the day.
Back I'm so horny.
You had a crush on somebody. You said, "Oh, I want to. I think I want to be with them."
Oh,
and
you know what? I was the enemy once upon a time. It just hit me. I said I would go through my catalog. It just hit me.
Listen, we gonna pin that. Oh. We gonna pin that. Come back. This is WTTR Radio. Wow, this is on your mind. Gwen Stefani, we be right back. Keep it locked.
Yo, drop your glasses, shake it. Face screwed up like you having hot flashes. Which one? Pick one. This one, classic. Red from blind, yeah.
I'm drastic. Why this? Why that? Lip stop asking. Listen to me, baby, relax and start passing. Expressway, head back, weaving through the traffic. This one strong should be labeled as a hazard. Some of y'all top psych, I'm gassing. Clowns, I spot them and I can't stop laughing. Easy come, easy go, Evie gon' be lasting. Jealousy, let it go, results could be tragic. Some of y'all ain't writing well, too concerned with fashion. None of you ain't Giselle, kept walking, imagine. A lot of y'all Hollywood drama, cast it. Cut camera off, real blast it.
I had to give you my.
See, I do what they can't do, I just do me. Ain't no stress when it comes to stage, get what you see. Meet me in the lab, pen and pad, don't believe. 16's mine, create my own lines. Love for my wordplay, that's hard to find. Sophomore, I ain't scared, one of a kind. All I do is contemplate ways to make your fans mine. Eyes bloodshot, stressing, chills up your spine. Sick to your stomach, wishing I wrote your mind.
I had to give you my.
Route, lockdown, blast this, sets while I mash out, hit, mash out, D-R-E, backtrack, think back, E-V-E, do you like that?
Ew.
You got to, I know you, had you in the trance, first glance from the flow to, believe I'll show you, take you with me, turn you on, tension gone, give you relief, put your trust in the bone when I listen to me, damn, she much thinner, no, now I'm complete, still styling on, brick house, pile it on, ride or die, double off, can't strong. Cause I crush anything I land on. Me here ain't no mistake. It was planned on.
I had to give you my. It's only been a year.
Radio, your alternative lifestyle station, is bridging the urban LGBTQ community together.
If we are truly created equal, then surely the love we commit to one another must be equal as well.
Playing the best music with the hottest shows. Keep it locked right here on WTTR Radio, where you can catch all the tea.
Studio while you get hot to see the tie dye Chris F.
It is.
Davis Live. We're filling in for Hey Mikey ATL 213-292-7694. It's a number to call in for discussion on sleeping with the enemy. And we still we got some hot topics here. I had to we had to cut some of these topics when we're sleeping. There's some dirty things up in the studio, child. You had to really get you had to sit there and I had to cut some of these conversations. Say, you're not even You know, another thing, me and Chris, with maybe tomorrow. Tomorrow, 4th of July, we have all kind of stuff going on tomorrow. Y'all just get ready, because this is some hot stuff. So, Chris was saying he actually realized he was the enemy.
Yeah, sometimes, when you become a person of a certain age, your memory doesn't come back as fondly as it, used to. But I realized I was. So, here's the situation. I was dating this said person, and find out that they wasn't the most truthful person in the world. And their best friend and I ended up having a conversation. And the best friend found out that they was lying to them. And so how we decided to get back at the lie was that we had one.
Oh.
So I guess I was the enemy.
Yeah, you were.
And I didn't regret it either.
I like I said, I've never been.
So I guess I've been the enemy. I'm sorry.
You know, I never been the enemy, anything like that before with anybody. I think I look at love. I try to, you know, you just look for love. I think love is the most wonderful thing in the world. And now here's the topic: can you love two people?
Yes.
Can you be in love with two people at one time?
I don't think you could be in love with two people at one time, but I think you could love two people.
No, I think you can be in love with two people. Well, you know what?
No.
What? Okay, here, let's put it like this:
you're in love with one, and you love the other. There's a difference. I don't think you could be in love with two people at the same time. I think you can love two people at the same time, but to be in love means that something is... Let me explain to you why you can't be in love with two people at the same time. Because if both people are in love with you, something is either... If everybody doesn't agree to be in a polyamorous relationship, then that relationship is going to come to a head because somebody is going to... break the boundary of what the confines of that relationship is. Could be an indifference, so no, you cannot.
See, I would never, first of all, I would never be in a relationship with more than one individual. I just can't. I don't believe in that. It have to be one individual. I mean, I couldn't have threesome. That's not my, if that's a, somebody tell me, hey, can we have a threesome? That's it. It's over with.
So you never have a threesome?
No, I have not.
Oh.
And I don't want to. That's if somebody tell me that. It's
you know what? I commend people like you.
No, I mean I believe in. Ty's laughing.
Because I commend people like.
Well, I gotta be people like you.
Because like people, there are really truly some people who don't want to have threesomes or explore.
I don't
sexually. It's not, like
I don't,
you know.
I don't want. Like I think love is a special thing. I think the individual you're in love with deserves.
Okay, but you're talking about somebody you're in love with. But if you was a free agent.
No.
You not, no?
No.
No?
I couldn't.
Why?
It's not because it's not in my heart to do that. I didn't want to sit there have the conversation saying, I remember when I did that threesome. I don't want to have that conversation. I just want to remember how much I love that individual.
Well, praise the Lord.
And, yeah. So, and I mean, love is something deep. And I'm going to play the song earlier.
That's time for real.
Time is going by fast here. Wow. 213-292-7694. And I mean, so Chris, why you applaud me for not
wanting to or never had a threesome? Yes, I
applaud. What do you think about that?
About the threesome situation?
Yeah. That's a deal breaker right there.
I've at one time or another, I think I asked, should that be introduced into the relationship because I felt things were going
you
sour.
Got mail.
It was just like it was starting to.
Well, that's not the time to have a threesome when things are going sour.
Well, if I may finish.
Okay.
You know, you think of different ways of being able to rejuvenate things. So it's a matter of, okay, how do we reconnect? And then you say when it comes to sex, well, you know, is my sex not good? And then they got to ask you, is their sex not good? Or is it just we need to try new things, whatever like that? Mm. So it was, I thought to ask at one point.
What did you say?
I'm sorry. I was talking to my live feed. I'm sorry. I wasn't meaning to.
See what I'm saying? Just cut me all off.
Yes, he did.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be quiet.
Talking, I don't be singing and all this in the background.
I'm going to be quiet. I'm letting you go.
I'm just thinking like, I don't know. I asked, you know, to see if it should be introduced, and it didn't work out either way. So needs to say, no, I never did it. But it was just a question.
So if I got with you. Not with you. I'm just saying in general. If anybody, I would say if you had a threesome, that would be the end.
If you found out they had a threesome in the past,
yeah, I did. Yes, I would. Uh-huh.
So wait a minute. Hold on. Let me clarify. Let me understand. Make sure I'm fully understanding what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So if you were dating somebody,
right,
and over the course of you having a get to know conversation, if you find out that person had a threesome, that that's a deal breaker.
It is.
Why?
I don't know. I don't.
But
think
that was before you. I'm just saying.
I don't know. It's just something that I.
Does it taint your image of that person? It taints your image of that person.
But see,
yeah, I think
this,
do it to me again.
This the bullshit. Because
why they gotta be bullshit?
No, because here's the thing. You would judge somebody for having a threesome.
What? No, I'm not judging.
You are judging them if you saying that's a deal breaker. Why you can't? They did it in the past. That's their past. You're judging their past.
I agree with that because essentially it's just like
if
you said that you were once the enemy, would you want them to judge you based upon the action that you did in your past?
But I've never been the enemy.
Listen, the reality of the situation is some people have to live to make sure they know what they want and where they want to be in life. And sometimes some people have to experiment sexually to really make sure and understand what they like and what they don't like.
But you know, I always had in my head, I wanted this fairy tale life.
That's your damn problem. You need to go. You need to go sit on somebody's couch, look up the ceiling, and talk about it because you trying to live up to a fantasy in life. Life ain't a fantasy.
Is life not a fantasy? But you don't have to deal with you know, individuals doing these different things, from cheating on you, sleeping with the enemy. I think it's wrong. I think why should people do this to you, especially, you know.
I mean, it's. I wouldn't say. I get what you're saying as far as the idea of what you want and how you think it should look, but I think realistically speaking, that's just something you should always be vigilant of. It's never going to be a thing as to where it's relationship is 50-50 or you know this is what I imagine them to be, so this is how it would carry out. It's never going to be that way. Not in a real relationship.
Listen, Nita Baker's song Fairy Tale says it the best.
Well, you know what?
Mama never told us we're going to cuss, scream, cry, and lie.
Okay, but you do it.
That's what happens when you get into a true relationship.
Well, I mean, we're going to talk to your doctor. And we're going to ask the doctor what he has to say about this because.
Dr. Phil.
Do you think I need to seek help? I think
there's some things you got to work through. Yes, and yeah. As do Ty, as us do us all.
Mm-hmm. We all have some work to do, steps to take.
Well, I'm still not gonna say that it's a deal breaker for me. I'm sorry, it's a deal breaker for a lot of people. Ty might not like certain things.
Well, I can agree to say that we all may have different
right.
deal breakers.
Mm-hmm. We
because
do.
What it may be a deal breaker for me may not be a deal breaker for you.
That's true.
Like if your fingernails are dirty,
right?
Your teeth are a little bit apart.
Right. Uh huh.
You know.
Uh huh.
That's a deal breaker.
And it is.
And for some people, that may be
simplistic.
Like shit. It may be a turn on for some people. I don't know. It don't work for me though.
I must have something.
Huh? Yeah.
What did he say?
That's a deal breaker.
The shade and the rail in the studio today.
That is a deal breaker. That is a no no. That is a we will never.
213-292-7644. You're dealing with talking to Captain Daryl Davis, Chris Epps, and Ty Dock, and we're talking about sleeping with the enemy on WTT Radio. And you know, okay, let's move forward to modern. Let's move to this
okay,
day and time.
Forward.
Now, let's say today, Chris, you had a somebody, partner, whoever, and
mm-hmm.
you've been sleeping with them for a couple of years, whatever, mm-hmm. living with them, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. living together, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't sack, I shack, but go ahead.
Okay, well, you shack, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out that they cheated on you, and all this time, they've been, when you going to work 9 to 5 every day.
In my house?
Mm-hmm, in your house.
In my house?
In your house.
Where I pay bills at?
Yes.
You too?
Okay, so let me say this.
Hell no.
This show being recorded?
It is being recorded.
Oh, then I might never want to say that because it might go down as premeditated. But let me if I was with somebody, let's say hypothetically, if I went against my rule and mm-hmm. I was shacking, and you was cheating with somebody, and you was cheating on me in our house,
mm-hmm.
Oh, that is the issue. Is not the fact that you cheating. At that point, the issue is that you disrespected me.
Right.
And you disrespected my household. And if you let another hoe have that much leverage over me, and to be able to throw that shit up in my face if I ever saw them,
that's called surcharge.
Yeah, I'm whipping that ass.
I'll call the police for you.
Like, I'm. Yeah, it's going to be a situation.
Okay, would you take them back?
Hell no. I'm beating the brakes off your ass.
Let me say this. Right. Will we probably have sex again if the sex was good? Probably. Absolutely. We'll probably do a drive-by, beep. Holla.
Listen, but would you be able to come? Just get it in and let me get going.
Yeah, but would you ever be take able to? No.
No, because now you know what they're capable of.
Because that's a whole, that's a violation. Yeah. It's like, if you're going to cheat, take that ish away from the house.
You don't shit where you eat.
Yeah. And I always say this, right? And here's my golden rule. Mm-hmm. That anybody that I'm in committed relationship with, and it's the expectation I have for anybody that's in a committed relationship with me, that you have to protect me. Your job is to protect me at all costs from bullshit.
Yeah.
That you know is bullshit.
I agree.
So therefore, I'm not saying you may be totally innocent in a relationship, or I may be totally innocent in a relationship. Howsomevers, you would never know what was going on, or there was a breakdown on my account, or flaunting it in your face, or allowing somebody else, whoever I'm messing with, to have that type of leverage, or be able to say something over you.
Caller, is this Dr. Blaylock?
Hey, it is. How you doing?
Dr. Blaylock, welcome. How are you, sir?
I'm fantastic. How you doing, Mr. Darrow?
Hey, fine. Dr. Blaylock. This is Dr. Andre Blaylock out of Charlotte, North Carolina. He's a relationship specialist.
Good afternoon, Mr. Blaylock.
Mr. Blaylock, Dr. Blaylock, did you just hear what my response was to Darrow's question?
He didn't hear the question. I just asked him to call in.
No, I didn't.
What Darrell asked was, if you was in a committed, like, so I have a rule of thumb. First off, I don't shack, I sack. But he was saying, if you was living with your partner or your lover or whatever, and if they cheated on you and they was cheating in the house that you all shared, what would be the repercussions when you find out? And for me, I'm not a violent person, but certain things provoke certain irrational thoughts. And if I found out that you was having with somebody else in my house while I pay bills, while I sleep and rest, it is going to be a situation. Now, doctor, go ahead and analyze that situation.
Right. Well, I mean, looking at it from that standpoint, if you and your partner are there, you're both paying bills equally. That's your residence. That's your fortress of solitude.
Amen. Saying,
there should be no reason at all for someone to cheat inside the fortress of solitude.
Amen.
If you're going to cheat, a lot of that stuff should be going on outside. It's terribly disrespectful.
Yes.
And if you get caught, there's too much stuff in the house that violence can go down with. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
It's kind of like, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like that's in the heat of the moment. You walk right in and you see somebody banging, you might run to the kitchen and grab something because that's in the crib.
Correct.
You have no time to think about it.
Because so Dr. Blaylock, really like I said at that point, it's not about the cheating. It's about the complete and utter disrespect.
Disrespect. It's the complete utter disrespect. There's no weak, because it's like, okay, if you're going to cheat, people cheat. But you ain't got to cheat inside the fortress of solitude. Because
correct.
It's like, now you've disrupted my peace. I can't go anywhere in that house now without thinking.
I'm mollywopping that ass all over the house.
Now, if you've been through something like that, how do you ever overcome something like that? Or how do you overcome it?
Well, the biggest thing about it is, like, you're talking about the two people. Let's just say, okay, if I'm living with someone and I cheat inside of the house, how do I... Is that what you're saying?
What if I'm the victim and my partner and I found that they cheated on me in my house numerous times?
Okay.
What do you do?
Someone might have to, if the relationship is going to end, which it probably would have to, you have to decide who's going to stay, who's going to leave. Because it's going to be hard for both of you to stay in the same house because trust has been violated, disrespect has been violated.
Amen.
If you stay there, I guess, if both people are going to stay, let's just say it's an extreme situation and they're going to stay, a lot of the stuff that are members of that affair has to go, like sheets. Anything that reminds you of what's going on has to get up out of
bed.
You know what I'm saying? So I have to start all over with new furnishings. You might have to start over new. It's going to be an extreme thing, but you have to change the entire environment because you got to recreate something new in an old space.
So, Dr. Blaylock, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What is worse, right? Is it worse walking in on your partner with somebody else cheating in your house? Or is it worse to find out months, years later that your partner was having an affair in your residence and with somebody that you both know? What is worse?
I mean, that's going to be an individual situation. Hurt is hurt.
Amen.
For you to say, okay, for me to say which one is going to be worse, I mean, both of them are going to affect you, but it just depends on how, to what degree it's going to affect you. Now, if you walk in and you actually see someone doing something in your house, of course, that's going to be an immediate shock to your system. That's going to be hard for you to get over because you've seen it with your eyes. But right. Years later, if you discover it with your ears, even if you never see it, but you find out, that's going to be a shock too, because it's going to be the length of betrayal that it happened. You know what I mean? Like, you mean this has been going on for how long? So yeah. It's like, it really, both of those, it just depends on how you're going to take it. Both of them are an act of betrayal. One, you've actually seen it, which may be harder because you can never unsee something.
Oh, that is true.
You can never unsee it.
You come on now.
You never unsee it, but you can play tricks with your mind, but you can't get rid of that vision.
And it is, and then if you see, even if you see counseling, and you know, and counseling don't help. You think it helped, but then you're still with the individual after years, and you still see it in your mind, visualize the picture that you've seen. I mean, what do you do? I mean,
it's a hard process. I mean, really, it's a process. And some things, like, I hate when people say sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. If you get hurt physically, physical wounds over time can heal, but emotional and psychological scars, you carry those for a lifetime. Because they're trigger points. And something may trigger that thought or that emotion.
Contingent on the day, you may go back to square one.
You may go back to square one, but say in a situation like that, I always urge my singles and my clients to practice state control. Like, if you're living in Atlanta, you don't like the state that you're in, you can move to Texas.
Right.
You can get up and move to another state and start over. Your emotions, that's why they're called emotional states. If you don't like where you're living at that time in your mind or emotions, move to another one. If you're feeling bad or sad, if you concentrate on it, if you allow yourself to replay that deceit, that whatever over and over, you're going to find more things that collect to that, and you're going to feel worse and worse. But it's impossible for you to feel bad and smile at the same time. Notice if you're feeling bad, how are you sitting? What is your body doing?
Right.
Most of the time, it's kind of slumped over. Mm-hmm. Just by sitting up or standing up and smiling and moving your body in a different way, you will automatically change your state.
That's true.
And it's a matter of just really doing that. You got to really be proactive in doing it and want to get over it. And whenever that comes into your mind again, be like, no, I don't even live in Atlanta no more. I'm living in Texas. And then go to that state. You'll get over it a lot faster that way, because a lot of times people don't feel emotions. People do emotions.
See, I'm going to have to whoop your ass all over again, because now you're making me have to get up and leave my good career and move to another state.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, you have to change your state. And like I'm saying, it's like, okay, you don't feel depression. You do depression. Your body, if you notice what you're doing, you know, but just if you don't like it, again, just drive to another state.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you do. I mean, you can't just sit there in that same bedroom that you know where, and you've seen pictures of the evidence.
Do a Bernadette.
Burn it down.
Put it in the car. And burn it up.
But I mean,
cut off all your hair.
It's so real. You know, this happens every day, and people think, and then the person, the victim, is always the blame for why they cheated. They find a reason always, try to blame you. You did it because you talked to so-and-so. I did it because you wasn't home enough. You got working, making the money. Why is that always? And that's why he cheated.
It's easy to sign or to shift blame. You know, all of us play a part. Now, no one can make you do anything you don't want to do. Not even to the point of death. If I don't want to do something, you just kill me then, because you can't make me do something I don't want to. But can you contribute to me going there a little faster? Yeah, you can. You can step on the accelerator and drive it there a little quicker.
But Dr. Blaylock, so let me ask this question. I don't mean to interrupt you, but to piggyback off or to add a different perspective vantage point to what Daryl's asking. So if you're in a relationship with somebody and you have expressed concerns about where in areas where they make you feel inept or they're not spending their time or they're not home enough, and there is no plan of action that you see to try to correct that behavior and or concerns, and then you find somebody that comes along and speaks to or supports your vulnerabilities, and you happen to be up in a scenario, is the person who violated the boundaries of the relationship exceedingly wrong than the person who did not also put any plan of action to try to amend or make the relationship work between the two of them?
It's going to depend on what side of the equation you sit on. If I'm the victim, I'm going to feel like, you know what, you should have done this, and that's why I did that. If I'm on the other side, it's like, well, not really. If there's enough blame to go around. So it's hard to say who was at fault the most. The biggest thing is, like, look, whenever you're in a situation and you find out that effective communication is not occurring. And a lot of times I ask different things. Like, one of the questions I ask on my Facebook page, we start talking, I ask, ladies, if your man came home tonight with a toy and asked you to peg him, would you respect
him? Oh, we talked about that. Oh, go ahead. Go talk about that again.
And you will see how many responses went off, because they immediately said, if a man wants anal play at all, he's gay. And I'm like, well,
that's
why
not
do
true.
You say that? And I'm like, why do you say that? Why do you think that? Because a real man, and they went into all these things. I'm like, an erogenous zone is an erogenous zone.
Correct.
Realize that the penis is just a vagina that fell out.
Correct.
And the only way to our G-spot, which is our prostate, is through our rectum, just like the only way to your G-spot is in your vagina.
And if people fail to realize that the prostate is more sensitive than the clitoris. So, yes.
It is. So, you know, you have to educate people at that point. They think that any type of anal play is gay. And I'm like, right. Gay is. If I am attracted to another man, if I want any type of stimulation sexually from a man, I'm gay. If you could step in, if a man sticks his finger in my butt and massages my prostate and I want only a man to do it, I probably like men.
Right.
If I want my prostate stimulated but I only want my woman to do it, that's a heterosexual act. It's not gay.
Correct. Because gay is not what you do. Gay is what you're attracted to.
Exactly. So I'm saying that to say, when you're getting back to the point, I guess, of effective communication, a lot of times people don't even know what gay is. Or they might not know what a certain definition of a word is. If you're in a relationship with anybody and effective communication has not occurred, and I define it this way, when the words that leave Daryl's mouth and enter my ears are processed and understood the way he meant them, only then has effective communication occurred. But that's not what happens with most people. You say something, all of a sudden they already have an answer form. Like, I didn't even say that. What you talking about? They processed it differently.
Right.
So if you're in a relationship with anybody and you cannot effectively communicate with them, you don't need to be there. It's not going to take you long to figure out you ain't hearing me. You ain't trying to hear me. You hear what you want to hear. That's a relationship you need to leave.
So
that's not a true relationship. That's a situationship. And you're going to find yourself more hurt than not.
So Dr. Blake,
not intentionally. Go ahead.
So, Dr. Blaylock, how do you advise for heterosexual couples to approach the conversation of of wanting to do pegging, right, from the male perspective, because specifically in the African American community, it is taboo to talk about anything that's associated with anal sex, because as you stated, it's perceived that it's gay. But again, we established that it's not what you do, it's what you're attracted to. So for those heterosexual men that may be listening, or women for that matter, and that is something that may be a desire of that man, how do you recommend approaching that conversation to have with their female partner or wife?
Well, most of the time, if a man is introduced to any type of anal play, a heterosexual man, most of the time he is introduced by a woman. Now, unless he was
tossing that salad,
he got hold to a woman who introduced him to certain things, and he likes it. Okay,
yes.
So the thing is, I guess the open communication would be like, you know what, I want to talk to you about something that my ex fiance or my last girlfriend introduced me to, that I never knew anything about it, but I enjoy, and it's whatever. You approach it by, like, on my page, I put up what the male G-spot was. 16 ways to stimulate. I mean, it's information. It's scientific. It's nothing sexual. It is sexual, but it's nothing kinky or freaky. And it's like, look, these are some of the benefits of having your prostate stimulated. Besides giving me a great orgasm, it's been shown that regular prostate stimulation reduces the risk of prostate cancer.
Amen.
And black men have a 70% chance of acquiring prostate cancer than other men. 70%? So other men, other races get the memo, but we don't, because like you said, sex is so taboo. But we got to step back and be like, you know what? I know what my mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa said, but that's not necessarily the reality of what's going on.
So grandma, granddaddy was doing it too.
Honest about it. I'm sorry.
I said grandma and granddaddy was doing it too, so you'd be surprised.
Know, they couldn't be open and correct, honest about it. And the thing about it, when you start looking at sex is a natural act. All animal species, in order to procreate, have sex. But it all depends on when you put your emotions, when you put your mind into sex, that's when you start getting all these feelings about what's right and what's wrong.
Amen.
And taboo. But sex feels good, and every species does it.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
You just have to have a conversation about, this is what I like. And then if they ask, well, that's gay, I thought, why do you feel that way? You got to be able to talk about it. Most people can't talk about it because they get stuck. Religion and sex are the hardest things for most people to give up.
And see, Dr. Blair, like,
we
had started the conversation with sleeping with the enemy. And, you know, it's kind of hard when you realize that you're sleeping with the enemy. What do you do when you realize you're sleeping with the enemy?
I mean, what's your definition of the enemy?
See, I asked that question. Now, see, Dr. Black, you make me feel highly intelligent, because I asked these same questions at the top of the call. Like, what is your definition of sleeping with the enemy?
Okay, like I'm saying, I mean, you sleep with someone that you say, oh my God, you have this woman you're sleeping with, but then again, while you at work, she's sleeping with the mailman or the milkman.
Right.
And you don't find it out till like 2 or 3 years later. With that child come up and realize, hey, this is not my child. That's the milkman child.
Now that's old school.
Right.
No, but that's real. That's still this day and time.
Oh, no.
That is still going. This time it's the because I know friends who
it's the orchid
when they boyfriend or girlfriend. My friend, I had a friend, I'm not gonna say her name. Her boyfriend leaves the house, and the gardener out there cutting the grass with his two kids. And as soon as he leaves, he comes in and do clean, give her what she needs, and he didn't ever need
things out.
Yeah, he cleans it out, and she had been taking. She tells me this because she
he's
said
going gardening.
She
all right.
he goes down and clean her out, dirty style. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wait a minute. He cleans her what? He performs oral sex on her.
Yes, he does perform, and she hasn't been taking a shower yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that's a fetish. That's erotic that she's attracted. And again, that goes back to what Dr. Blaylock said, that you have to have that conversation, because sometimes people are scared or ashamed to Like, she may want to come home one day after a hard day's work and tell her husband just to get down there and munch. But he may not want to do it because he don't find that attractive. But she may have found somebody else.
And this is somebody I work with, and she had a man in every building.
Now, she's the hoe. But see, that's what I'm saying. That's what I was talking about earlier, the definition of a hoe.
But
he'd have locked down and married a hoe.
Isn't that sleeping with the enemy? Because he didn't know his wife or his girlfriend had all these different men. He go to work, and she's doing all these other deeds with these other men. What do you consider, I mean, beside a hoe? Is that an enemy?
Okay. Well, the way I look at it, I mean, an enemy purposefully, you've identified each other as combatants.
Okay.
He's not, so it's not like, okay, he's not her enemy. You know what I'm saying? She's just doing some stuff. She has, like the gentleman says, fetishes. She might have an extremely high sex drive. You know, maybe they talked about it, maybe they didn't. I mean, she might have a sexual addiction. You know, different people might, some women that I talk to, they're attracted to different penis sizes, and the way people move it. So the thing is, I'm just kind of thinking that she's not free in that relationship to discuss that with her husband based upon what she feels that his reaction will be. Rightly so. I mean, if he finds out after all these years, of course he's going to be upset. But if she realizes, like, first of all, look, I'm doing this. I have a problem. It's an addiction like anything else. Drugs, alcohol. I can't help myself. I can't stop. I need some help. I didn't tell you because I was ashamed, you know. I was scared that you were going to go off on me. I love you. I want to stop. I need help. See, some men, the thing about men when it comes to being cheated on, men take it so bad because it's kind of like if another man comes into our house and gets what's ours, it's like he just pillaged our village. Because the way men are, when you look at the male species, they fight for dominance and territory.
Right.
And they run other men off. If another man comes in, he don't just get one thing, he gets it all. You know what I'm saying? If he takes over the pride, if it's a lion, he takes all the lionesses. And he's going to kill your cubs and you just out. Men have a deep feeling of that. But I think that sometimes that goes back to ownership because I was in that situation when I was younger and I was working things out and I found out that she stepped out. One, I traveled a lot. I asked her, what did I do?
Right.
How did I fail you? How did I fail you? And she was not expecting that. I'm like, because I know you. And you're not one just to do this. This didn't just happen quick. And he came in. What did I do? And she's like, you weren't here all the time. And I had to realize her love language was quality time. And I'm trying to make up with quality time with gifts.
Right.
And stuff. That didn't mean nothing to her. So she stepped out. But then I had to say, okay, now, if I think enough of you to want you to be my woman, there has to be more to you in this relationship than just your vagina. Now, the guy that you slept with, do you care about him? Do you love him? Is there any chance for us to work on it? And I made some hard choices. Was it easy? It was not easy. But in this case that you just said sleeping with the enemy, she feels, and maybe he did, I don't know the whole situation, just what you're telling me, but maybe he's created an environment where she doesn't feel comfortable enough to come forward like that.
Right, because I think a lot of what you're saying, Dr. Blaylock, it depends on your emotional intelligence. Right. So you have to be emotionally in tune and intelligent. Like you said, you ask her, how did I fail you? Because I know this is not you and this is out of character for you. So how did I fail you? Oftentimes, we are not emotionally intelligent enough to be able to process the information and have those conversations. So I think a lot of that is great, but it's all contingent on where your emotional intelligence is.
It is, and last thing I'll say about that, I put a post out that the sad but true thing is that most men do not mature emotionally until the age of 43.
Oh, and I'm 42.
Now, it's funny. it's funny with women.
I got a year to go.
You know, there's this kind of like curve, but the scientists say that, you know, there's a lot of research that suggests 43 because women start that process at age 10. And if you allow 20 or 21 years of living in life, by the time they're 31 to 32, they're emotionally developed. They're emotionally mature.
At 31 or 32, they develop? You think so? At 31?
Well, 31 to 32, if you allow 20 years, if they start the age, the process at 20, at 10, if you allow 20 years of living, by 31, a lot of them have gone to school, they have their careers, their whatever, you know, so they're there. Emotionally, they can be there. A lot of times they've been hurt, though, because they've been dealing with men through their 20s and 30s and stuff that jacked them up, so emotionally they still might be hurt and damaged and all this stuff, but if they weren't, for the most part, they can be pretty sound. Men don't start the process until age 20. So if you allow the same 20, 21 years, by the time we're 42, 43, that's when we get it. And there's a 10-year difference, and that's why sometimes you catch older men with younger women. They match. Well, it's not always a sugar daddy situation.
Well, can I
they
add,
just match. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. So may I ask, Doctor, what are ways that you would suggest a man is able to somewhat shorten that time span in which I guess he's able to accelerate or find new ways of being able to mature to step into that stage a little bit sooner so that at least they're more aware? What are some of the things you think they can do?
Get in touch with your feelings. Get in touch with your feelings. A lot of times as men, we try to carry on with a certain level of vibrato, and we deny the feminine side of ourselves, which is the side that we relate to our women with. You know, so it's kind of like, okay, how can you speed up the process? Sit back and just be willing to admit sometimes, I don't know. I don't have the answer. One of the biggest shocks to women is when I tell them, one of the biggest fears of most men is to be discovered that they're perpetrating a fraud. By that, it means like the world tells us at a young age, a man is supposed to have the answers. They tell us to man up. You're not supposed to feel things. So when we're confronted with certain situations, women expect us to be the men to have the answers, but we don't want to tell them, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. I'm successful in my business, but I don't know how to do relationships.
Right.
Because I'm used to getting my way in the corporate world, but I'm not used to getting my way in this, so I rebel. It's just becoming more aware of what your feelings are and asking yourself, why do I feel this way? And deal with your emotions. A lot of times we just don't want to deal with that. So that can speed up the process a lot, becoming more aware of what you're feeling.
Okay.
And so, going from there.
Okay, so now let's just say you have a male that I'll say between the age of 25 and 35, and they're faced with that. And like you say, they may ask themselves these questions, but they're just not sure as to how to juggle the change and the challenges of emotion. How would you tell them to address that? How are they able to identify and deal with so that they're able to be better men in their relationships?
It's a muscle. I think you really have to start with being true to yourself, being true with yourself. Okay. It has to start there, because certain things you'll find yourself in relationships. It's, whether it's male on male, male to female, whatever, it really doesn't matter what Daryl really thinks about me if I'm interested in him. I mean, if he's interested in me, he comes on to me or whatever, or vice versa. It really don't matter how he feels until I start liking him back.
Right.
Once I start liking him back, I become a totally different person. It's not the representative. It's just that I'm going to project all kind of things onto him now. He's this wonderful guy and all this stuff. Stuff he maybe has not earned up front. It's just stuff I'm automatically giving him. And we just become someone different. Learn yourself and not be motivated or stimulated so much by outside stimuli.
Wow.
The emotional part of everything is like, okay, I recognize that emotions are good, but they're a GPS system given to me by the creator. It's only two kinds. Some feel good, some feel bad. The ones that feel good let me know I'm probably walking down the path of life that I should be on, because when I'm feeling good, when I'm excited, my health is good. You know what I mean? I'm feeling great. I have all these feel-good chemicals going on in my life. And the others feel bad, whether that's betrayal, stress, depression, whatever it is, whenever you start feeling those emotions, that's when you know you're on the bad side or on the wrong path, because that's going to take away from your life. You know what I mean? So just identify where your emotions are. The wild side, am I feeling good about it? Or am I feeling bad about it?